Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Let's be honest, you've been portrayed as a monster.
Yes.
Evil, maniacal.
What's it like to interview a killer? 48 Hours is taking you inside what we've learned about the criminal mind. This is Killer Conversation. You can follow and listen to Killer Conversation on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, ordinarily, Richie, but he's off today. We got the Mac man, Jody Mac in. John will be back tomorrow. Hope you're having a good start to your Monday morning. And I hope all the dads out there had a great Father's Day. Jody, you're very blessed to still have your dad. You know, me, James, Rhea, and John have all lost our fathers. And me and Rhea and James all. Rhea, how old were you?
Well, my first dad, my dad, you know, the reason I'm here, died when I was 4.
Yeah.
And then I was raised by my stepfather, who I lost last summer.
Well, yeah, no, and I knew that. Yeah. And I'm, of course, sorry for that.
Wonderful.
I mean, James, you were about 20.
I was 22 when my dad passed away.
Yeah. I was 5. John was in his late 40s. So all 4 of us, no dads in our life. You know, again, Rhea's stepdad had to been until last year. You've been very blessed with your dad still alive all these years.
Yeah, I'm first number on the age 6. That's not my dad. That's me. Dad, he's got a birthday coming up in a couple weeks. July 5th is his birthday. His 96.
That's amazing.
Nice. That's awesome, man.
That's amazing.
Talked to him on the phone yesterday. He told me what he's having for Father's Day dinner. I said, sorry, can't make it down. Blah, 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 blah. He goes, got your card. Thought that counts. And shockingly, we were on the phone for about 20 minutes, about 15 of which we talked about baseball.
There you go.
But
is he still scouting?
Not shocking at all.
He's scouting from his comfortable chair.
That's awesome.
In his palatial state in Lakeland, Florida.
Good for him. Well, how many rings did he get in his baseball career?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 World Series rings.
Six rings.
Six.
Michael Jordan over here.
One All Mets, right. One Cardinals, 1, 2, 3, 4 Red Sox.
Does he have one that means the most to him? Probably that first Red Sox one, I would think.
Well, no, Cardinals, because he was the GM
Cardinals,
or assistant?
Because he was the actual,
GM. Oh, yeah, that has to mean the most then.
He gave me, and he said the one that he feels most emotionally tied to was the Met one, because he was running the minor leagues, Seaver and Kuzman, and all those guys came through, and he was there. And believe it or not, he gave that ring to me 12 or 15 years ago, somewhere thereabouts.
Wow.
So I have my father's 1969 World Series ring.
Wow.
And I've worn it about 4 times over the 15 years. Only time I ever put it on is if I go to, and I went to Shea Stadium with it on a couple of times, and Citi Field on with it a couple of times. Other than that, it's just a keepsake in a safe in my house, but I don't ever wear it. Because I'm not a Met fan anymore. I was then, but I've only worn it like 4 times in 15 years.
That's very cool. That really is. Well, happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. Ben Davis is a dad, and he has entered, and I'm telling you, Seltzer, I'm predicting a top 5 at 5 from the Oaf today. It's going to be people that cry from our morning show.
Not again.
We got another one. I don't know what it is about this show. We got another one. We'll get to that audio coming up in a moment. All right, Phil's a kick butt this weekend, and it was really the starting pitching. So congrats. And they hit yesterday, there's no doubt. But a game like Saturday, they didn't hit much. Obviously, big homer by Kepler late. But what it was Saturday was only 4 hits. But what it was for the weekend was, I mean, let's just be real. It was a Rangers start Friday. It was a Sanchez start Saturday. It was a Wheeler start Sunday. That's why they went 3-0 this weekend. And that's why they can win the World Series. That is why they can win the World Series. They may actually just outpitch everyone, because I do believe they have the best starting pitching in baseball. Now, look, they got bat issues. They got bullpen issues. There's no question about that. But, man, their starting pitching is really top shelf. And that's even if Nola doesn't get back on track. Let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Talk to Jimmy in Northeast Philadelphia. Good morning, Jimmy.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Happy Father's Day to everybody out there, too. James, Jody.
Same to you, bud.
I had a good Father's Day yesterday because my new favorite Philly, Otto Kemp, won me $1,100 filling out the five-legger for me.
That'll do it.
Yeah, that's
it
a big
nice.
One.
Nice.
Yeah, it was real nice. Finally won one. But what are we going to do with him? Like, if Harper comes back, do we put Harper out and right, Boehm the first, Kemp the third, Kepler to center because he's played there before, and Castellanos out and left? Like, what do we do?
Well, it all starts with two things. Can Bryce play the outfield, and will they ask him to and or tell him to? MacMan, your instincts. So, and let me just say this, here, notable to say. Otani, same surgery, is pitching tonight for the first time. So if Otani can pitch, you got to think Bryce could throw from right field. Jody Mack, would you put him back out there?
He has offered to go back that. He's on record as saying, if it's best for the team, I'll go back out to the outfield.
And it didn't feel like a throwaway comment to you?
Because
to me, it felt a little like, I'll do it.
It was after Pete Alonso signed, and it was like, well, yeah. You know, they would have brought him.
Kind of like when Trey Turner says, I'll do anything I can to help the team. I'm like, yeah, does Trey really want to?
You think there was a wink, wink, nod, nod there?
Yeah.
No, I bought it.
No,
I didn't.
I really
thought he would be.
No, I'm not.
What are you, Richie?
I just happen to think you two are wrong. I think he was telling you the truth. Would he be great?
Because
a lot of things are going to have to happen.
He was a good
before
right fielder.
That happened.
He was a really no.
He was an above average right fielder.
But to me,
yes.
It starts with that. Like the whole like Jimmy, your question here. See, I can't answer what it's going to be until I know whether that's on the table. If that's on the table, everything you described, Jimmy, you can cycle all that. If it's not on the table, now it's a lot harder. You know, Jimmy, I mean, that's the thing.
Yeah,
I mean,
oh, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to let you go. I'm back
right,
up.
Here. Thanks, no problem. James, is it on the table?
Yeah, I think it is. I think the issue. Yeah, I came in a little squeaky.
Wow.
He's the two. I mean,
no, that was really bad,
yeah,
James.
No.
You don't get to just gloss over this. That was really bad.
Okay. I'll cut it. Don't
yeah,
worry.
Yeah, damn right you'll cut it.
I'll cut it.
We got to hear that.
But
we got to hear
that. That bad, James.
I didn't think it was that bad either, but I'll cut it. We'll find out. Yeah, I doubt the issue is right now he's got an arm issue again, you know, and they're saying that being hit in the elbow messed up the wrist and all that. So I do not think he will move to the outfield if I had to bet on it.
I don't either. So what's the other solution? Jody, I've talked about Schwarber to the outfield. People laugh at me. James finally got on board last week. It would make the offense better. If I can have anyone else be a DH, which could include Harper or Kemp Boehm.
Yeah. Schwarb's not the outfielder that Harper is when Harper's healthy. Schwarb's a little bit of an adventure.
But, Jody, wouldn't
field.
You say Schwarber's defense is better than Rojas' offense? Wouldn't you say that?
Ooh, I never compared him in that way.
Of course it is. I can win more baseball games with Schwarber's defense than Rojas' offense.
No, I'll take Rojas.
No
defense.
Way.
Yeah.
Schwarb, no way.
I love Schwarb. Schwarb's my favorite Philly. He's not really capable of playing the field
anymore. By
the way,
I don't have Schwarber in my top 10 players in Philly
How
sports.
How do you not?
I'm telling you.
You're going top 10?
Top 10
like
players in Philly. Yeah, right. So we'll get to this a little later in the show because Spike Eich and the Oaf are going to do a lot on this weekend. I'll just say this. There were a lot of decisions. I'm going to put this out there right now. Once you got through the top five, there were a lot of decisions where here's what it was. It was Philly starting pitchers versus Eagles offensive linemen versus Eagles defensive players. I'm just telling
my
you.
My list is going to be different than yours. I can tell already.
Then you're wrong.
No, you can't be wrong on this one because it's purely subjective. It's an opinion.
No.
Ranger in the top 11?
I had Ranger at 11.
Really?
That's crazy. I love Ranger.
No,
that's,
he's not one
you think
of
that's
the
too
11
high?
Best athletes
yeah,
in Philly.
I think it's too high.
Absolutely he is, guys, too he's high. Unbelievable.
Too high. I only had three Phillies on my list.
Is it what
Harper,
you've done
Wheeler,
the last month, or is it the last year? Is it what you've done your career in Philadelphia?
It's not the career, although what you've accomplished
is part of it.
Gives you belief in that it's sustainable because he's done it for, like, let me put it this way. Lane Johnson's in my top 10.
Has to be.
And part of it is, you know, he's always there. Unless he gets suspended, he's there.
I mean, Rangers had stretches where he deserved it, but he's never put it all together. For
so you put Schwarber over Ranger?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I did not. Yeah, but anyway, all right, so we'll get to that as we move through the show. Also, coming up here in a minute, because you got to hear this Ben Davis stuff. This is good stuff. I'm joking around a little bit about the crime thing, but he is emotional because it's about his kid, and it's on Father's Day, and his son was playing a little in the, College World Series. It's great stuff. You hear that coming up. In just 1 minute. Hey, let me tell you about Family and Company Jewelers. And I want to take a moment here to acknowledge our friends, Junior and the entire squad at Family and Company Jewelers. Great people. You know, I always say they're the best in the business, because they are, when it comes to engagement rings and customer service and quality and price and all that. It is also now official, like official. You don't have to just take my word for it. Family and Company Jewelers has been named by South Jersey Magazine's as the 2025 Best of the Best Jewelry Store. Best of the Best. So congrats to Family and Company Jewelers. Get her, guys, if you have identified the gal of your dreams, get her the ring of her dreams, the best diamond. Why go anywhere else? Get it from Family and Company Jewelers. Get it from the best of the best. Family and Company Jewelers, right there on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey. They are, as always, South Jersey's diamond destination. All right, 215-592-9494 to weigh in on the weekend. Part of what happened over the weekend was the College World Series. So the College World Series started out with 8 teams, of which Ben Davis' son, Teg Davis, is a player on Louisville, one of the 8 teams. They're down to 6 teams. So it's gone from 8 to 6. College World Series is a double elimination process. So Louisville lost their first game, needed to win this last game yesterday, and did in comeback fashion to stay alive. So they're one of 6 teams still eligible to win the World Series. And Ben Davis was interviewed by an NCAA reporter during a game from the stands. And yes, we can add this to the list of WIP Morning Show people being emotional, which has happened quite a bit in the 2.5 years we've been doing this show. Let's listen to Dad Ben Davis yesterday.
Calling Phillies games, you don't get to come out to a lot of Tags games.
No.
What are you thinking in your emotions watching him at the College World Series?
It's just cool to see him on this, you know, in this venue and on the field, and just everything he's worked for, to see him out here is pretty neat. This is just one of those things that it's just, he worked so hard to get here, and being able to do it with Coach McDonald and his staff and his teammates, he loves these guys, and he's very happy that he's here, and it's a great experience. It really is.
So cool, right? Got to be happy for Ben, because Ben's our guy, right?
Our guy. That's how he composed himself.
He did.
Wow. Yeah.
He pulled it together.
It was super impressive.
That
was
like really.
He was right on the edge of Niagara Falls.
Of going and not being able to continue the interview. I also loved how he did the we him thing. I thought that was really cool, because it's like he did help him. He was there the whole time. He was like his whole life helping him learn how to do that and coaching him and all that. But in the moment, he's like, this isn't about me. This is about my kid. I really respected that. I thought that was a really cool thing.
Here's what I don't respect.
Yeah, I was trying to carry it and trying to help you out here.
So I wasn't going to call out the Mac man.
We don't have a choice at this point.
But I don't have a choice for first off, his phone is ringing. I don't know if you guys just heard that. His phone was just going wild while you were talking, James.
Mm-hmm.
Jody left the studio like 2 minutes ago. Thought we were headed to a commercial break. Mac man! We're not in a commercial break.
Oh. Dan Wilson is running around the studio trying to find him. Like,
I mean, not only
because you were doing a
commercial. Yeah, I said coming up in a minute. I'm going to tell you what Ben Davis said. I mean, that's Q4. We're not going to commercial break. What is this?
Quickest commercial break of all time.
Not only does he leave, he gets a phone call, perhaps from someone to say, hey, Jody, did you just leave the studio? They're talking without you. Guy doesn't take his freaking phone.
And doesn't have his ringer off in the first place. You're on the radio. And like, what are we doing?
I mean, is he a professional or not? Ladies and gentlemen, Twitter poll question of the day. Is Jody Mack a professional broadcaster? Because I thought he was. Yeah, you know, Richie's out. I'm like, yeah, sign me up with Jody Mack for 4 hours. The guy just skips town.
I just looked over.
I just saw Dan Wilson run by trying to find
him.
Not getting Dan Wilson just ran by my studio trying to find him.
So
that is classic.
We'll see when the Mac man is probably out having a puff, if I had to guess.
Yes. Can't call him. It won't work.
We'll see when he shows back up.
We'll have to play him, Ben, another time.
215-592-9494. Let's go to Ed in Phoenixville. And Ed, let me say thank you to you, sir. I'll be calling you off the air later today, but I really appreciate that gift you guys gave me on Friday. Thank you, Ed.
No, it was our pleasure. I just picturing Jody Mack outside ripping heaters.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly what's happening.
Dude, he has no idea right now that we are, like, in segment.
Yeah. No, it's something, all right. Yeah, it was such an interesting experience out in Chicago, and you're just, you know, talking about experiences with your kids, and I won't get the way Ben Davis got, but going to Wrigley Field, and my eldest daughter, who've been trying to get into sports for a while, is actually starting to ask, like, pointed questions about, so, Daddy, how many chances does a batter get? So he has three chances to swing and miss. But what if he doesn't swing? How does that guy walk in the first asking these questions?
Yeah, oh, that's so goodness. Cool.
How old is she, Ed?
She's 8.
That's great. Because, you know, the irony is Richie was asking those same questions 8 years ago when we started the morning show.
You're not kidding.
I always love when he says, when I started watching baseball 7 years ago.
He's not kidding.
You know? I'm not kidding. Oh, here he is. Hold on.
Triumphant return.
Standing ovation for Jody Mack for, you know, gracing us with his presence.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is why you should watch our show on YouTube. To see the shame, the embarrassment, the red face of the Mack man realizing that he skipped town while we were in the middle of a segment.
My face is always red, so that would be no difference whatsoever.
I mean, Jody, I thought you were a pro.
I thought you went to break.
I said coming up in a minute. I'm going to tell you what Ben Davis said in a minute.
My bad.
That's all good.
He's shamed.
No, it's all good.
By the way, it was Dan Wilson who called Jody trying to find him.
Oh, my.
Your phone was there. It went off while you were out there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Jody, you got your ringer on.
I mean, I never turned my ringer on.
Well, we're on the air.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, what are you?
Nobody ever calls me. Why should I worry about it?
What a sheepish smile that was. He's like, yeah, I do that.
Never turn my ringer off. Because I know people who turn their ringer off, and I know that they're available and can pick up a phone.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Let's be honest. You've been portrayed as a monster.
Yes.
Evil. Maniacal.
What's it like to interview a killer? 48 Hours is taking you inside what we've learned about the criminal mind. This is Killer Conversation. You can follow and listen to Killer Conversation on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And it's got to go to voicemail when I call them, and it ticks me off no end. So I never turn my ringer off.
Ed, anyway.
I apologize.
No,
sorry,
all good. We're playing around. Ed, that's very cool about your daughter. All right, give us what you got on the Phils this weekend, man. It was a heck of a series.
Yeah, it was a heck of a series, and just a nice breath of fresh air to see some of these other bats who have been kind of floundering come through in big moments.
Yep.
You know, Cassie with his slam yesterday, and that's what we're going to certainly until we bolster this lineup either via trade or, you know, hopefully Harper coming back. Like, we're going to need the support from some of these guys, and you know, we just need to see that consistently. And I think yesterday, you know, we didn't have a lot of hits. But did I see that we walked 5 times?
You know, well, yesterday was the game where the guy was imploding. Because if you remember, they had
hit by pitch.
I mean, it was two straight batters. It was 3 walks, a hit by pitch. Then I think another hit by pitch.
There were 2 of them.
Yeah, I think it was 5. And the Phillies players didn't even have to swing the bat. And they scored, I think it was 2 runs that way. That was crazy.
Yeah, so the bats don't have to be working, but if we're able to, like, work at bats, get on base, like, to build on that consistently through the All-Star break, I think my optimism is increasing. I'm still plenty nervous about all the other balls.
I get it, man. I get it. All right, Ed, give me a great answer. So you can win. This is a really cool prize for everyone tuning in. We're giving away today and this week. This is a great prize. So the Eagles and NFL Films and the Philadelphia Orchestra have come together to put an amazing night up ahead, July 24th, where it is the Eagles championship season, put to a musical concert with the Philadelphia Orchestra. Meryl Reese as the host. It's going to be clips on three different big screen TVs at the Man. It's going to be really amazing. What you got to give us in honor of the dads, Ed, although it can be dishonor if it's a bad dad, a scene involving a dad, good or bad, a dad being a dad, some sort of dad thing from a show or a movie. What do you got as the best answer?
Clark Griswold's reaction when he gets his Christmas bonus and Christmas Vacation.
It's a great answer, dude.
You got it, Ed.
It's a great answer.
Let me ask you a question. To the Luke Skywalker, Darth Vader answer that was given earlier, does Luke's reaction take away from the scene a little bit?
Because he's so upset?
it's a little bit like overacting.
Oh, well, yeah, it's a lot of overacting.
Jody, does that ding that one? Because that's a great storyline. But his no, I think he's screaming the word no.
Oh, yeah, he's screaming.
It's a little lame-o.
If you're saying it has to be positive, then it takes
away
from it.
It doesn't have to be positive. It can be any kind of scene. I mean, it's a notable scene. I mean, it's certainly going to be a potential winning answer.
Was it a little over the top? Maybe. No, I'm not going to take any points away for that.
That's a big answer, then. There's no question that's a big one. All right, let's get to some of the Phil's weekend, because there was a lot going on. And we'll give it to you in different chunks here this segment. We'll start with Friday night. Two highlights from Friday night, because they get the sweep, and let's relive all three games here. We'll begin with Friday night. It's Schwarber. It was a 1-0 game. And in the second inning, it became a 4-0 game.
In the air, deep center field. Going back on it, Straw to the track, at the wall, and he leaps. It's gone! Just out of his reach, dead center field, right over the 401 sign. And Kyle Schwarber, with his second homer in as many games, his 22nd of the year, and it's 4-0 Phillies.
All right, so a great job by Schwarber. And then, of course, a little bit later in the game, seventh inning, because Ranger got through seven, and let's honor him as he pitched. I mean, of all the guys this weekend, he was the best.
1-2 pitch. Swung on, hit in the air, right center field. Castellanos going over. He's there. He's got it.
That's not it.
And it is seven scoreless.
My fault.
1-2 pitch.
My fault.
Swung on, hit in the air, right center field. Castellanos going over. He's there. He's got it. And it is seven scoreless innings tonight for Ranger Suarez. Second time this season he's done that. And here tonight he will depart as we go to the bottom of the seventh inning. Phillies have a lead. Big hand for Ranger as he heads off on the first base side. It's 5-0 Phillies.
Yeah, crowd pretty much knew that was likely it, and it was seven innings for Ranger, which brings us to our Twitter poll question of the day, brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin has the new 2025 Chevy Trax in stock now, starting at only $21,495. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. Now, we're going to get to Saturday and Sunday's games and some of the highlights from them, but let's get to the Twitter poll question of the day, one of which is about the NBA draft. On a scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you for the Sixers holding the third pick in next week's draft? We break it up into four choices. Choice A is you're a 1 to 2 out of a scale of 1 to 10, meaning barely excited, not really, almost at all. Choice B is 3 to 5, C is 6 to 8, and D is 9 to 10, which would be super excited. But Jody, here's our second poll question. I want to drill down on this with you. So the second poll question is, will Ranger be a Philly next season? Yes or no? Here's the question I want to ask you, Jody. We do five questions whenever the Mac Man's in for John. John, Jody, here's question number two to you today. Give me the pathway to Ranger remaining a Philly next year. Now, let me just remind you and everyone listening. You have Wheeler, Nola, Sanchez, Lizardo, and Painter, who will all be under contract next year, not to mention Abel. That's six.
Right.
So tell me who would have to be out and how that player would be out for Ranger Suarez to be re-signed. And obviously it would be a massive deal because you're not going to get him unless it's a 5 or 6 year deal. So how do you do that, Jody?
Very difficultly. I think that there's... It's certainly less than 50%.
I agree.
That Ranger's coming back.
Which is such a shame because he's so good. All right, so is it you eat Nola's money and you dump him to a different team and you're willing to pay over half of it? Is it you trade Lizardo because he'll have 1 year left on his deal at the end of this year? If he doesn't sign this offseason, you say, well, then we got to move you and we're signing Ranger. Like, what is the pathway to keeping Ranger?
I don't think either of those are possibilities.
What is it?
I don't think there is one.
You think he's gone?
I think the only way Ranger stays is if they say we're going to run it back exactly as we have. We'll make it a competition. We'll figure it out as we go. I don't think there'll be
That's a six-man rotation or people to the bullpen. What is that? I mean, Aaron Nola's not going to the bullpen for an entire season.
I would let him compete for it.
And then if he doesn't get it, Aaron Nola's your long man?
Or Sanchez?
Well, that I can't
Sanchez,
do that.
Sanchez could end up being their closer. We've never seen him pitch out of the pen, not in any kind of high-leverage situation. When he first came up, yeah, he used out of the pen a little bit. But if they wanted to move it and make him their main guy out of the pen, he, to me, is the most likely candidate. If you say, Jody, you can't go into the season with six starters, it's just ridiculous. I would at least have a discussion about, do we believe Sanchez can be our closer going forward?
Here's my most likely path. Now, I think Granger is going to be gone. But if they're able to keep him, if I had to guess, it's all guess, the most likely path to keep him is that they negotiate with Lizardo. Lizardo does not agree to a deal. And they know, knowing he's going to be 1 year away from a big free agent contract, they trade Lizardo and pivot to keeping Ranger. James, what is the most likely scenario to be able to keep Ranger? Because there's also the Jim Thome thing when they traded him to the White Sox, and ate money. You just eat the Aaron Nola money. The problem is there's 5 years left. What's the most likely way to do it?
I think the most likely, outside of someone getting hurt and like they're out for next year and then Lizardo's there, but then he's gone, whatever, I think is what you suggested is them talking to Lizardo, deciding he's going to either cost too much or wants way too much.
Yep.
That they decide, all right, we're just going to sign Ranger now, have the bird in hand, and, you know, maybe trade Lizardo, maybe go a year with extra
and
guys.
And I love Lizardo. Let me be clear,
yeah,
guys.
But like, I'm with Jody. I think it's if I had to, like, I would bet heavily on Ranger not being a fan.
I agree. Right. But, James, I'll tell you, man, when we watch him pitch, I mean, it's amazing to watch this guy and say, so I guess he's just gone? I mean, he might be their second best. Guys, he might not only be their second best starter. He might be one of their two or three best players.
He's got to get through the season.
Right, he's on a bit of a hot streak.
But
Jody, before the back, he was 9-0. Like, I think the guy's legit. And if he's gone through that back and is back to this.
But he's never had a complete season.
No, I get it.
Ever.
All right, well, look, you can weigh in on the Ranger thing. We'll get to the Saturday and Sunday games as we move through the show. Reminder, you can watch our show on YouTube. Show's been on YouTube now for about 2 months. So check out our show anytime on YouTube when you get a chance. It's all right there. And by the way, not just live during the show. Like, if you're driving in your car right now, and let's be real, most of you listening right now probably are driving in your car to work. Cool. Well, you probably won't want to watch us on YouTube while you drive. That would not be advisable. But you can go back later. I mean, you can get to work and watch it on YouTube. You can watch it tonight at 5 o'clock on YouTube because all of it's there. It's all housed there, all the content. So check out the show on YouTube. And also, we love when you make comments on YouTube, questions or comments, and we'll try to get to them. It's another way to be interactive with the show. So please get those questions and comments and fire them off to us, and we'll try to get to some of them later in the
All
program.
Right, so I have a question for you, Mr. Ranger. Got to do whatever it takes to
keep
Well,
I'm not saying you have to. I'm just saying I wish you could. Look, I wish the Nola contract didn't exist. It does.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Let's be honest, you've been portrayed as a monster.
Yes.
Evil, maniacal.
What's it like to interview a killer? 48 Hours is taking you inside what we've learned about the criminal mind. This is Killer Conversation. You can follow and listen to Killer Conversation on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's complicated.
Let's say Ranger is going to get fair market value. Not above and beyond because it's Boros and he always gets everybody more.
Well, fair market's like 125, man.
Fine.
No, he's 30. I don't think it's that
James,
much.
James, This is pitching in baseball,
I'm just
man.
Like, for what it's worth, and I think this is way too low, but SpotTrack, which is the, you know, the website that tracks contracts and stuff, they predict 3 years, $45 million.
Oh,
I think
that's insane.
I agree with you. I agree with you. It is way too low, but I'm just saying I don't think he's a lock to get 100 at 30. That's all I'm saying.
I'm not saying a lock. I'm saying I'm predicting he'll get 100. Go ahead, Jerry.
All right. So we'll average it out somewhere. I'm with you. SpotTrack is coming in way low. You're a little high at 100, but let's say it's $80 million for... four-year, $80 million deal, somewhere thereabouts. If that's his money, and Schwarber's going to get fair market value, not hometown discount, not because he has a 48 home run year that he's going to get more than you expect. If they're both out there and they're both willing to come back for fair market value deals, not undercut, not overcut, which one are you re-signing?
Well, I'll say this. If I can figure out a way to unjam that logjam, which we were just discussing at the pitching spot, I would rather have Ranger. I think he'll be better the next 3 years than Schwarber.
But it is as it is. The Phillies roster is what the roster is. Are you going out of your way to add an extra pitcher and we'll figure out how we clear a spot thereafter? Or bring back your designated hitter who's a 45 to 50 home run guy every year?
I think Ranger's a better baseball player.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
Wow, not me.
Because as much as I love Schwarber, he's not playing defense for me. He's not running the base as well.
But he's done it for a full season.
I love Schwarber. I got no anti-Schwarber.
We love both. You want to get rid of? I just want to point that out.
By the way, neither of them makes my top 10 list, and they're both outstanding. All right, let's go to the phones. We'll get to that top 10 list as we move through the show. 215-592-9494. By the way, Jody, I met one of my sports heroes this weekend.
When?
Dr. J.
Really? Where?
Yeah, Dr. J in town. I met him at an event Saturday night, and I mean, that was unbelievable.
Very cool.
Dr. J, man. I mean, that was really amazing. Let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Let's talk to Troy in Northeast Philadelphia. Troy, good morning.
Joe, good morning. What's going on?
How are you, buddy?
Hey, everybody. How you guys doing?
Good.
All right. So, Jordan, this question goes to you, man, because you're more the baseball fanatic than I think Joe might be.
Well, hold on a second here. I mean,
he's doing 20 years of catching up.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's true, but there is this factor.
As if.
I mean, come on, Troy. Just because he's got grays that I don't doesn't mean he's got more fervor for it. He might have might have seen more games.
He's
but
got a World Series
I don't
ring
think
in his
talking fervor. I think he was talking grasp of the game, but I don't want to speak for him.
I'm playing around, Troy. What do you got, buddy?
All right, so after this weekend, where do we see the more pressing need at? The outfield or pitching? If so, are we going after these guys from Diamondbacks? If they, you know, if they realize they're not contenders, either Gallen or you know, one of those pitchers, or do we go after somebody like King Tuck?
No, it's not going to be Zach Gallen. As Joe just pointed out, we're six starting pitching, could be seven starting pitching deep. And as good as Gallen is, they're not going to get another starting pitcher. It's going to be a bullpen arm if they're going to add a pitcher. It comes down to outfield bat, bullpen arm. One of those two is going to be the top priority for Dave Dombrowski.
Okay. So you think pitching is more the pressing need than outfield?
It's close. It really is.
Troy, you know what's so funny, man? So I got these five questions for Jody. I'm going to fire it to him right now because I have that as one of the questions. Mac, man, I'm putting you right on the griddle, but I'm framing it different than Troy. Jody Mack, bigger concern for October. This is question three. Phillies bats or Phillies bullpen?
And bats is only outfield.
No, but it's the inconsistency of guys in the infield that can...
You're going to go get another third baseman and replace
Bones. No, I'm not talking about adding. You can interpret any way you want. I'm saying, here's the question, greater concern for October, Phillies bats, which include... Stott, by the way, is down to 230. And a 300 on base percentage. Trey right now is hitting 300 and playing great offensively. But last year he was a disaster in the postseason offensively. Jody, the question is, bigger concern for you October, Phillies bats, Phillies bullpen?
Bullpen.
James, you agree with that?
I've gone back and forth.
I do not agree with that.
I've gone back and forth, honestly.
So have I.
Yeah. I would have said outfield last week you asked me. This week maybe I say relief pitcher. They need both.
I mean, maybe Nola is someone that slides into that bullpen and does a decent job. Maybe Painter does.
I mean, Nola, I don't know if Nola's going to pitch this
year. I don't know if he will either.
I mean, that was concerning, all the Nola stuff.
I know. Look, Troy, it's an unbelievable thing to have. I'll tell you what, Troy, this is a Phillies team that is more lopsided than almost any Philadelphia sports team I can remember in a long time. Where it's like the starting pitching is an A triple plus. It is an A triple plus. The bats are like a B minus, and the bullpen is a C minus. It's weird, so man.
You were going to go D, weren't you?
I thought about D. I was very close to D.
Let me ask you guys, if we do the pitching, right, that's going to really not really, it's going to kind of cancel out the bats. We won't need the bats as much if we have shutdown pitching.
Well, that's a factor, but you always still need something, you know?
Yeah.
I'll say this, the Diamondbacks in 01 is probably the only team I've ever seen in my lifetime where I felt like the bats were borderline irrelevant. I mean, they literally won because they had Curt Schilling and Randy Johnson. But that is so rare. And yes, they had Luis Gonzalez and he had 57 home runs that year.
Yeah.
But they won because they had these two pitchers that they just kept. Schilling went 1-4-7 in the World Series. Randy Johnson came out of the bullpen for game 7 of the World Series at the end after having pitched game, I think it was 6.
They were co-MVPs.
Yeah.
They were co-MVPs.
I never before in my lifetime.
That was great back then.
It was awesome.
It was so cool. I felt the same way.
And that's what I feel like this team's going to need with Wheeler and Ranger and Lizardo and Sanchez. Like those four guys. All right, Troy, give me a great answer. A scene involving a father.
All right, this movie, I'll admit to you guys, if y'all cool, this movie made me cry, man.
Yep.
The only movie ever made me cry. Pursuit of Happiness, when Will Smith is in the bathroom with his son, because they didn't have any place to stay, and he's trying to convince him it's a cave and not a public restroom, and people are banging on the door to get in there.
You know what? It's a good answer, Troy. I think, and I have to go back and watch it to know the whole thing, but I do like the end scene, perhaps the
best.
The fist
pump.
Yeah. But I'll write it down. Pursuit of Happiness in Bathroom. I mean, there's a lot of good scenes in that movie. It's very good. All right, there was a lot good going on this weekend with the Phils, including the Saturday game. So let's fast forward to that. So this was the Sanchez game. So let's first give Sanchez the tip of the cap. He leaves when it's still a tie game, but he had pitched really, really well getting through 7 innings.
1-1. Swinging a weakly hit ground ball to short, charging in Turner. Gloves it, throws on the run. He got him. And 3 ground ball outs for Christopher Sanchez. And he retires the final 7 that he faces. And we're going to the bottom of the 7th stretch time here at Citizens Bank Park. Phillies 2 and the Blue Jays 2.
I feel like he's almost the forgotten guy. I mean, first off, Ranger has pitched better lately. And Lizardo, other than those two starts, has been better this year. But, I mean, if Sanchez is like your 4, I mean, that's unbelievable. All right, so credit to that guy. He's having a heck of a year. He really, you know, after last year what he had done, you wanted to see him just prove it. Prove it. He's proven it.
Yeah.
This guy is someone to be trusted, counted on, relied on, given the ball in October and say, go try to win a World Series. He's awesome. All right, let's get to the biggest moment of Saturday's game. 2-2 game. It's late. I think it was Kirkering the pitch the 8th. Now it's the bottom of the 8th, and Kepler basically wins him the game.
Here's the 2-0. And it's swung on. Hit deep right field. Springer looking up, and that one is gone. And Max Kepler has put the Phillies on top with an 8th inning solo home run to right.
Hard to remember all the moments. You know, you get 2.5 months into a season. Hard to remember them all, but maybe Kepler's biggest of the year?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
Right?
Oh, yeah. One of the bigger moments of the year, period, really. Yeah. I mean
that was
a really important home run in that spot.
Yeah. All right, we'll get to Sunday's game coming up shortly because it was a sweep and is now a 4-game winning streak. By the way, the Mets lost 3 in a row. So the Phils are now 2.5 games behind the Mets. The Phils are also 4 games up on a wild card spot right now. So pretty good from that standpoint, obviously trying to track down the Mets who they'll play coming up in a few games. All right, let's go to the phones, 215-592-9494. Let's get to Zach in Medford with the Mac Man, Jody Mac in for John today. Good morning, Zach.
Good morning, everyone. Mr. Mac Man, I don't think I've had the privilege. Nice to meet you, sir.
My pleasure. Thank you.
So I was actually at the game yesterday. Incredible. I just, the offense was electric yesterday.
Sure.
And I don't know if you guys know this, but Castellanos, I believe, is 3rd in Grand Slam. In the MLB. I think he's behind Rivera and someone else. I can't remember, but I just wanted to...
Wait, are you saying active players or history?
I believe active.
Okay. Well, yeah, I know he's had, I mean, it's two this year, and I think he's had a few with the Phillies at this point, so that wouldn't totally shock me. And he's also been around baseball like 10 or 11 years, I guess, at this point, so it doesn't totally shock me.
No, not at all. With regard to the, I guess, trade deadline, specifically with Ranger, I feel like if I were Dabrowski, I'm thinking Ranger situation is probably the hardest to navigate, and it probably, while he is the best person to go after, I feel like you could do more with the resources that you would throw at him on other pieces. Like, instead of addressing just Ranger, if you address the bullpen and you address, you know, some batting, I feel like you can do more there than just throw everything at Ranger. So I think ultimately the net yield, we should probably just accept that Ranger's got
to
go.
Well, here's the irony to that one. I don't know if irony is the right word, but Zach, you know, something we were talking about two or three weeks ago was the possibility of trading Ranger this year, and that was before Nola got hurt. I think that train has slowed down because Nola's gotten hurt and Painter hasn't pitched quite as well in the minors as we were hoping. I mean, it's really, really, really going to be hard for Dombrowski to look the public in the eye a month from now and say, we're trying to win a World Series and we just traded Ranger Suarez. Probably not going to happen. But I get your grander point, which is allocation of money for next year and beyond. You're saying maybe break it up and try to get a left field or center field or relief pitcher closer. Be nice if they ever had a closer. I mean, when's the last time they had a closer? Like, this is our guy.
Jose Mesa?
I was going to say Neris, maybe a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, Kimbrough was their guy for about half a year. Yeah,
The manager refused to call him the closer. Right. We all knew he was the closer because he was getting 19 out of every 20 save opportunities.
He got it by around May 1. Because if you remember, April was Sir Anthony's month because he had pitched so well in 2022. But by some point in May, Kimbrough had it. But then he kind of like lost it by August. He had about 3 or 4 months where he was the guy. But, I mean, someone that's been the guy for like two or three years.
Opening day till last day, be it 162 or playoffs.
I mean, it might be Jose Mesa or Billy Wagner.
Well, Papelbon was after that.
Papelbon. How could we all forget Papelbon?
We always forget because he was so unlikable.
Correct.
I'm telling you, I have this. It's not an argument with Ruben.
I agree.
But Ruben's always like, you know, he's like one of the best, you know, and I'm going, but he just was so miserable.
I agree. I did not enjoy having him on the team.
No.
And he didn't have many games to close anyway because they weren't any good. So
no, it was
all right,
awful.
Zach, give me an answer, bud. You can win this really cool, you know, event to attend the Eagles championship honored with a concert at the Philadelphia at the orchestra, the whole deal. Give me a scene involving a dad being a dad.
I don't know if this gets to the thrust of the question, but I'm going to go with the American Pie scene when Eugene Levy walks in on Jason Biggs.
I think that definitely counts.
Of course it does. There's no question that counts. Yeah, I mean, you know,
young the conversation after so awkward.
Young Seltzer knows you don't want to get caught, right?
It's right, Joe.
I mean,
that's a tough scene.
Even old MacMan knows you don't want to get caught.
Yes, I do.
All right, so from that we transition to the Eagles here because I want to get to Sunday's game with the Phils in a moment. But let's also bring some Eagles talk into this. So this goes back like a week or two. I can't remember the days all these guys talk, but of course they held that OTA recently. Nick Sirianni said a lot in his press conference, and there's a piece of audio we haven't even played yet.
You think Nick Sirianni said a lot?
Well, he talked for like 10 minutes.
Lengthy. He didn't say anything. He may not. That's Nick Sirianni.
Yeah, he's gotten a little bit more tight vested with his commentary. But he did give a window into his process of studying to keep the Eagles excellent. Basically, trying to be as good a coach as he can be and leader for the organization in the midst of success to have that success continue. Let's listen to what I thought this was pretty interesting the other day. Let's listen to what Sirianni said.
Really, I focused on sustained success, right? What were the common denominators of different coaches that I talked to or players that I talked to or Michael Johnson, you know, other sports that, you know, that we talked to that what were the common denominators of sustained success? And I think without getting into everything, I think there's two sides of it. You know, the main thing is it takes what it takes, right? You're going to have to be able to work extremely hard and you're going to have to be able to overcome adversity. And you always have to be right in the moment of where you are. I think, you know, as I've done research and talked to these guys, and we've had an element of sustained success here as well. But you can have two ends of it, right? You rest on your laurels, you rest on your past accomplishments, and you're not here working, or you're looking too far ahead of how do we do this again? Like, we're focused on our process and how we get better every single day. And, you know, if your process is right, then it gives you the best chance to win. It doesn't necessarily mean you're going to win, but it gives you the best chance to win.
Makes sense to me. I mean, keeping process and keeping hungry, but also being in the moment. I mean, one thing, the guy that has sustained it the most in recent years is Andy Reid.
Oh, you're talking lead wide.
I'm talking sports wide. I mean, who has sustained it more, you know, in the last 7 or 8 years? I mean, Andy Reid has, with the Chiefs alone, has won 3 Super Bowls and what, lost 2?
Yeah. Yes. No, lost, well, with the Chiefs, he's lost 2 and lost 1 with us. He's 3-3 in Super Bowls. Yeah.
And then maybe 1 or 2 AFC Championship games mixed in there. I think they've been in the AFC title game 7 straight years.
Yeah. Every year of Mahomes' career.
Well, since he became the starter.
Is it
Yeah. Well, obviously, Mahomes is the bigger deal. He's the quarterback. He's the player. But Andy, I mean, even when he was here, Andy had a pretty even-keeled thing that I think served him and them well. But look, it'll be fascinating. And I do like how Sirianni, in the midst of answering that about the future, he's basically saying, hey, don't forget, we've had our own sustained success. It may not be championship-level success every time, every year, but he slid that in there. Don't kid yourself. We've won a lot of games more than just this past year.
4-for-4, making the playoffs. That only, can't be better than 1,000%.
Yeah, only coach in Eagles history. And we can look it up, Philadelphia sports history. He's probably the only coach in Philly sports history to... Doc Rivers, was he here like 3 years?
Yeah, I guess it kind of. Yeah, it doesn't count.
It doesn't. Because 8 teams make the playoffs.
Double-digit win streaks.
Yeah,
too,
I guess
right?
someone like might have taken over the Flyers and done that because you make the playoffs all the time. You know, back in the day, you have a good team, you got 8 seeds. But anyway, I enjoy having Sirianni as the Eagles coach.
And by the way, happy birthday to Nick yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday, the 15th.
Let me take a guess.
Okay.
So I am 47, and I believe
and
he's younger. And a man, that's right. James, we do have to come up with new audio with that. We'll
that's
get to
on
that.
You, buddy. Yeah.
It is on me. Okay. I will guess Sirianni is, so let's see, he's had it 4 years. I'll guess he's 46.
He's 44.
Yeah. Wow, he got it at 39?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Was he younger than Andy Reid? Because Andy was pretty young.
He was on the young side.
38, maybe, Andy?
I don't know. Wow, Nick Sirianni was head coach at 39.
4-4, yeah, I remember that.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
And then, Jody, I remember...
It was a nervy hire by the Eagles.
Well, it was. And I remember, because I know you know Theo Epstein.
Yep.
And he was the GM at, like, 31 or 30?
I think he was even younger when he got that job, right?
I
think he was in his 20s, Joe.
Is unbelievable.
Yeah, 28 or 29.
My God.
And where is Theo Epstein now? Nobody knows. quick Sirianni point.
Yes, sir.
Just a little suggestion for the Eagles because it played itself out this way.
Yep.
And I'm a huge fan. I always defend him.
Yep.
Those who 2-2, fire his rear end. Stop it, please. They win the Super Bowl. So I'm a big coach fan. But, and even a little more so, he's always been smart in what he says. I could do a better job coaching him up. The best coaches don't ever call their players out. Don't reveal all that much. They, in season, always have the coach first. He's there after the game on Sunday, then Monday, and then you get to hear from the coordinators during the week. This past week, they put the defensive coordinator up first and then brought the coach in thereafter. And you get the straight-shooting defensive coordinator who pulls no punches and says exactly what's happening. And then you put Sirianni up afterward, and you go, he didn't really say anything, did he? In comparison to what we got from his DC the day before, he's hedging all over the place. So during the season, it's fine because you get Sirianni, and then you hear the corner, you go, yeah, well, you know, Sirianni won that. But it's done. It's over and done. When he comes after them, it kind of points out that Nick can hedge with the best
Look,
of them.
He doesn't say much. That is true. It is also true that the two coaches with the most success this century in pro football said the least, Belichick and Reid. Couldn't say less than them. Now, I'm not saying I enjoy that. I don't.
It's horrible.
But it is horrible. It's annoying. But I also can understand someone like Sirianni who got raked through the coals with some of his comments, especially when he would go off script. That's where I felt like he got in trouble. Sometimes he would go off script, meaning he would get into that excitable voice thing, And then it's like, oh, man, who knows where he's going? And then sometimes it went to spots that got him for sure in trouble. Look, let's go to the phones. You can react to it all. 215-592-9494. Great job with the Phillies over the weekend. Steve in Willow Grove right now. Good morning, Steve.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Happy Father's Day. And Hammer, you set the tone on Friday with that victory for the Phillies this weekend. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you, sir. As Bartle and James once said, I thank you for your support.
That's great. Yes. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it.
Of course, the 31-year-olds are like, who the heck are Bartle and James?
Yeah, that's for sure.
All right, what do you got, Steve?
Well, they gotta do a little reading, maybe. You know,
sure.
That might help them.
Yeah.
But hey, Jody Mack.
Yeah.
Rob Thompson, your thoughts on him, your opinion.
Outstanding manager.
So
one of the best in baseball.
We win the division, and he doesn't mess it up in the playoffs.
Why not?
I don't know. I'm just I think we're great, and I think I don't have confidence in him.
Really? Yeah, you're not the only one.
Steve, that's the most interesting scenario. Here's what I mean. So they win the World Series. They go really, really far. He's back. If they lose and he screws it up, I think he's gone. But you paint an interesting scenario. They lose, but it's not his fault per se with a move or two. The bats just go cold, bullpen implodes. What does Dombrowski and Middleton do? That, to me, is the most interesting scenario. And, Jody, you told me a couple weeks ago you think in that scenario he's kept, right?
Oh, yeah. I think he's going to have to screw it up royally to not be back as the manager of the team.
Pull out Wheeler again?
Yeah, that would be an example. I mean, Jody, he's had some whoppers. I love him, but the Wheeler thing in 22, the freaking Kimbrel thing in 23. Last year, he leaves both starting pitchers on the bench while you're seeing the bullpen implode in game four, not to mention the Rojas at bat in, what was that, 23, and I think last year, right? Wasn't that 2 years in a row Rojas got on the bat? I mean, I do love him, but Jody, he's had, I'll put it this way, I think the Kimbrel thing, other than maybe Mitch Williams in 93 and playing Blaine Bishop in 02, I think the Kimbrel thing was the third worst decision I've ever seen from a coach or manager in my lifetime in Philly sports.
Did you feel the same
yes,
way about
yes, in the moment.
You didn't let me finish my
sorry.
Question. Did you feel the same way when Fregosi left Mitch Williams in the World Series?
When he left him in?
Done.
When he put him in?
Well, yeah, went to him.
I was
went
cursing when he
Williams.
Put him in.
Yes.
Yes, I felt that way
on
the way in the game.
I reference Roger Mason more than his
Jody,
family does,
the
Jody.
Phillies, and I love Mitch, the Phillies had a 14-8 lead in Game 4 of the World Series and lost 15-14. I could not go back to him. I could not. Now, it didn't help that David West and Larry Anderson were struggling in that eighth inning, turned the lineup over, and that's why Ricky Henderson led off the ninth. That hurt a lot. But anyway, Steve, I'm sorry, buddy. Go ahead, man.
No, that's okay. I just, look, you guys are rocking there. That's okay. You got the Mac man.
Yeah, problem know. Is somehow we just referenced Game 6 of the 93 World Series, and I just, you know. Steve, give me an answer, man. Give me a scene involving a dad. It can be a show. By the way, there's so many sitcom kind of shows with great scenes involving dads. But anyway, give me an answer.
What about Denzel? Was it John Q in the emergency room?
Ooh,
when the,
yeah, that's a good answer. Hadn't seen that movie in a while.
You got it, buddy. All right, emergency room scene, Steve.
Pardon me?
My emergency room scene. I got you, my man. Steve, appreciate the phone call. All right, 215-592-9494.
And you don't think of Denzel as a dad, just generally speaking. Denzel, all-time great actor.
Roles.
Him playing dad role kind of sticks out like a sore thumb, but he was very good in that movie.
All right, what is trivia question for Jody Mack. What is Denzel's, real Denzel's, dad Denzel tie into Philadelphia sports?
Denzel's dad?
No, Denzel as a dad. Tie into Philadelphia sports. Real Denzel. Not a character.
Oh, I got no idea.
Actual Denzel Washington. James, do you know this answer?
He got game somehow? I don't know.
Didn't his son play for Penn?
His son went to Penn. I don't know if he played.
No, he didn't play. His son's an actor. John David. He has two sons. Yeah. One's an actor, one's a director.
Yeah, one went to
John
went
David
to Penn.
Washington went to Penn.
I thought he played on the Hoops team.
I don't think so. Maybe, but I don't think so. Maybe he was like a walk-on or maybe.
Well, I know he would go to games at the Bluster sometimes.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought his son played for them. Maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe he did. I don't know for sure.
Michael Jordan's son played for Penn.
Yeah. Wow.
Michael Jordan.
Uh-huh.
How bad is that joke? All right, Phillies. He was a good player, by the way. Penn's Michael Jordan. He was a good player. Not as good as, you know, the real Mike, but
his
good player.
His one son was a running back at Morehouse College.
Okay. Very cool.
But I don't know about the other
side. All right, we'll get to more from the Phillies game yesterday and also up ahead. Coming up next, I'm going to tell you my top 10 players in Philadelphia sports. Spike Ike and Jack are doing a big thing this week on that. I'll give you my list, and we'll rock all the calls and all the topics. Jared Cameron, John Ritchie, ordinarily, but the Mac Man today in for John on 94 WIP.
Hey, basketball fans, ready for the NBA Finals? Get in on the action throughout basketball's most exciting time of the year with BetMGM, an authorized gaming operator of the NBA. Sign up or log in to score odds, boost tokens, and more, supercharging your profits whenever you make a winning NBA Finals bet. And that is not all. With BetMGM, you'll have access to countless b-ball betting options, including new look, same game parlays, teasers, live bets, and so much more. Just sign up or log in today, and you'll be on your way to exciting NBA action all through the postseason. Get ready for the season's exciting finish with BetMGM. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Let's be honest, you've been portrayed as a monster.
Yes.
Evil, maniacal.
What's it like to interview a killer? 48 Hours is taking you inside what we've learned about the criminal mind. This is Killer Conversation. You can follow and listen to Killer Conversation on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.